The Benjamin Dixon Show is only possible with listener support. Go to www.thebenjamindixonshow.com to register for our blog and join the Progressive Army.
Today is Tuesday, January 17th, 2023. Thank you so much for joining me. I want to begin with a type of juxtaposition. The things that make conservatives outraged versus the real threat to society that stems and comes from conservatism. I'm speaking specifically about the everyday outrage that comes from conservatives and their ability to ignore stories like this one coming out of New Mexico. The Republican candidate for state representative who lost his election turned around and hired men to shoot up the homes of four Democratic leaders in the state. A Republican former candidate for New Mexico's legislature who police say claimed election fraud. There's the outrage, right? Election fraud from Republicans. This is the standard talking point. Election denialism. If they lose their races, they don't think that it is physically or humanly possible for them to lose. And now it has gone so far as this particular candidate by the name of Solomon Pena, who lost his 22 run for state house for District 14 in New Mexico. He hired people to shoot the homes. Now, I am curious, you know, maybe I guess he just wanted to scare them. I'm not sure why you would put yourself in the way of a felony. But I'm not sure if the intention was to murder them, but one has to assume when you pull a trigger, you intend to kill. But the homes, the garages and the cars were shot up, and Solomon Pena actually participated in one of the shootings. I'll play audio from local reporting, but this is not being discussed by conservatives right now. And I get it. They don't want to own up to the violence that they have created in this country that is centered and rooted in delusions that they create, chimeras that they create in their own brains that have no grounding in reality. And then they get so upset about it that they do stuff like this.
Police say the man they arrested is Solomon Pena. Pena is accused of paying four other men to shoot the homes of those four political figures.
It is believed that he is the mastermind that was behind this.
This individual was actually a candidate for office against a Democrat House member just in November.
After the election in November, Solomon Pena reached out and contracted someone for a amount of cash money to commit at least two of these shootings.
On November 7th, he accuses his opponent of rigging the election. On the 9th, he tweets, "I dissent. I am the MAGA king." And finally, on November 15th, he tweets that he never conceded the race against Representative Garcia. Police say Pena would go on to orchestrate four shootings from December 4th to January 3rd.
And of course, Republicans aren't talking about this, not on the national level, not in the social media sphere, because they cannot talk about this because they are 100% complicit with this. Election denialism is a mainstay. It is a tenet of the modern Republican Party. If they lose a race, ask Carrie Lake. They will deny it. Matter of fact, there must be something in that region, New Mexico, right next to Arizona. Carrie Lake driving home. I just insisting that this election was stolen, still has not conceded to the new governor of Arizona. There is a part of the Republican Party that has committed, thanks to Donald Trump, they have committed to denying elections. And now they've gone so far as committing acts of violence. But here's the thing. I don't want you to just see this through the lens of election denialism. You have to see this through the lens of all of the violence that is coming from the right now. All of it, including their hatred of the LGBTQ community, the DQ nightclub shooting, including the bomb threats that happened at children's hospitals across the country, including every act of violence that we see coming that is rooted in white supremacy, the shooting of all the black shoppers at Tops in Buffalo, New York, right? The shooting, I mean, we could trace it back. Of course, it goes back in the history of this country. This country is founded on hatred and murder, genocide, But I have to stop at Mother Emanuel AME. I have to go back a couple of years to Mother Emanuel AME, Dylan Roof. The violence that happens in this country is rooted in right-wing extremism, white supremacy. And white supremacy has become a mainstay in the Republican Party. It was not always like this. A lot of Republicans like to tout yesterday that Martin Luther King was a Republican and that the KKK was started by Democrats. Yeah, how's that going now? The Republican Party, without question, has become the party of white supremacy and violence, political violence. The evils that have been saturated inside of the conservative movement. Listen to this clip of Dan Rather asking Martin Luther King about the racism that was brewing at that time. It was merely brewing in the Republican Party.
Recent statements of Senator Barry Goldwater and in some cases Richard Nixon. Do you think there is a real danger of the Republican Party becoming the white man's party in this country?
I think this is a real danger, and I've talked with some Negro Republicans who are very concerned about this. I see trends and developments which will reveal that unless the liberals of the Republican Party take play a much more decisive role in leadership positions, this will become a white man's party. And I think this would be tragic for the Republican Party as well as tragic for the nation.
Absolutely what happened. I love the distinction that he makes there. While I'm not I don't describe myself as a liberal. I describe myself more as a progressive, a leftist. But the clear distinction that Dr. King made was that there are conservatives in this country who are fighting to conserve the power of the white male power structure. And there comes entitlement with that thinking, the thinking that it is impossible for this country to be run, for these states to be run by anyone other than whoever captures that delusion, because that delusion is no longer limited to white people. I mean, I don't know what Carrie Lake fully is. She doesn't even discuss it. But Solomon Pena, you know, he has adopted this mentality that he is entitled to the position of state representative so much that when he lost by 3,500 votes, he said election fraud. There is but one step between white supremacy and the entitlement that comes along with being able, or actually let me reverse that, because the entitlement that comes along with denying that you lost, thinking that it is impossible for you to lose and that you are the sole person who could have possibly won, that is one step away from the white supremacy that drives all the rest of the violence in this country. It's like it's part and parcel of the same ideology. It is the entitlement ideology. White supremacy is the most entitled type of thinking in the world. To think that you have the right to dominate society and anyone else that stands a chance, anyone else that actually wins, God forbid they actually win, must be destroyed. They must have cheated. They must have been in league with the globalists. This is the ridiculousness that we're living in right now. And it saturates, it permeates through the entire conservative ecosystem. From former President Trump to gubernatorial level of Carrie Lake, down to the state representative level of Solomon Pena. This is the nature of the Republican Party right now. And I don't really care about red versus blue. I'm glad to call out Democrats. What I care about is the clear and present threat that this white supremacist, Republican entitlement, conservative, nationalist movement poses to humanity, to life, to people's safety, their ability to just be at home, or their ability to lead, their ability to stand up and represent their people, to represent their beliefs and to run for office. But you can't do that in the year of our Lord 2022, 2023, because conservatives have determined that if they lost, it's only because of cheating. And now they are responding with violence. Last week, I reported briefly on the banning of women wearing their arms out, having bare arms in the state of Missouri by the State House Republicans. What strikes me about this story is that there's no amount of control that Republicans do not wish to exert on women and their willingness to actually go ahead with it, despite the fact that clearly they are taking us back generations.
Spend $1,200 on a suit and I can't wear it in the people's house because someone who doesn't have the range tells me that it's inappropriate.
There are a lot of ways we could break decorum in this room, but a woman, what she's wearing, that is ridiculous. You know what it feels like to have a bunch of men in this room looking at your top, trying to decide whether it's appropriate or not? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Lady, you're right. It is ridiculous. It is absolutely
absurd. So why are you doing it?
That we even have to talk about it on the House floor.
I agree. So why did you bring it up?
You would think that all you would have to do is say, dress professionally, and women could handle it.
The lady who was speaking earlier from St. Louis County, she was wearing what I would describe as a cardigan. Is that in line with your amendment?
There's nothing in here that says you cannot wear a cardigan. The whole idea of this is to wear something over your clothes that opens up in the front.
Is that second layer required to have long sleeves? Is that what?
Say professional dress, professional attire. That's what you look at whenever you, I mean, that's what I think of whenever I think of a professional.
So your interpretation of professional dress should be all of our interpretation of professional dress. Understood.
It's going to be interpreted.
Bingo. That's exactly right. That's the crux of conservatism. It is whatever their interpretation is of traditional, whatever their interpretation is of quote unquote normal, whatever their interpretation is of professional, acceptable, hell, whatever their interpretation of beauty is, that is what has to reign. And anything short of that is, well, they vote against it. They ban it. They try to make it illegal. Now, I really want to pause and just think about the hypocrisy here, because I've yet to really begin talking about men in the way that I probably will talk about us in the future, because I am a man and I know who and what we are. But isn't it ironic that we are told that we must be held to the standards of barbarians, of people who can't even control their own penises, people who are so mired in scandal after scandal. I mean, it's so bad that some states that you drive in, particularly in the South, they have billboards up advising men not to mess with their daughters when they come home drunk. Like, this is the caliber of creature that is trying. And I know that there was a woman in that clip that was speaking about it, but behind her were all the men who put her up to it. Let's just be real. There are always going to be accomplices to the patriarchy, to white supremacy, period, to fascism. There will always be accomplices, co-conspirators from minority demographics. That's just how it works. But behind this are the men in the State House of Missouri who absolutely want to control women so much that you can't bear arms. The irony of this country, of this planet, for that matter, being under the control of people who simply cannot have a normal day because of their hormones making them rabidly attack women in every way imaginable, but we have to live up to their standards. Same thing in church, same thing with religious institutions, the preacher, the priest, who are up there, you know, preaching about morality and sexual morality and preaching against abortion, being caught red-handed over and over and over again, molesting children, raping women. It is a level of hypocrisy that honestly has to, you've got to see, you've got to hear it. Like, we on this planet, in this country specifically, we are dominated by creatures who have no morals whatsoever except the morals that they preach to you to live about. And now they're concerned about whether or not women's arms are they so far gone that they can't look at the bare arms of a woman without getting aroused? Are they so far? You know, I'm not even going to finish the rest of this segment because I want to play for you in this next segment who they admire. They admire people like Andrew Tate. Of course, I could play Donald Trump, but we are well past that stage where they've not only elected him and now they've gotten rid of him. They don't want him anymore, but they accepted him when he was talking about grabbing women by their things. Right. So I could play any number of conservatives for you to hear, but I want to play for you here Andrew Tate, who is the hero of the young conservative movement, the young men's movement. They admire people like Andrew Tate, who I'm getting ready to play a clip of, an influencer. He claims to be an MMA fighter, but okay. But who was arrested on sexual trafficking charges in Romania about 2 weeks ago. I want you to listen to who these conservative men actually admire. Listen to this voice recording that he sent to a woman that he had just assaulted.
Am I a bad person? Because the more you didn't like it, the more I enjoyed it. I f***ing loved how much you hated it. Turn me on. Why am I like that? Why? I am one of the most dangerous men on this planet. Sometimes you forget exactly how lucky you were to get f***ed by me. Would you rather me pin you down and make you do things you didn't like, or would you rather f***? You didn't like that I was thinking I can do whatever I want to. That's what it is. I'm the smartest person on this fucking planet. Are you seriously so offended I strangled you a little bit? You didn't fucking pass out. Chill the fuck out. Jesus Christ. I thought you were cool. What's wrong with you?
That's who's raising some of your boys. Right? Andrew Tate. He's so popular. There was actually a protest on his behalf after he got arrested. There was a protest in Germany. I mean, this cat is global. This is what's championed by the right as the model of an alpha male. Now, you're not going to get, you know, mainstay Republicans in Congress to actually stand up and promote this guy, but he is a part of their ecosystem. Conservatives have found a way to not only ruin the lives and the thinking of your parents who watch Fox News. They've reached down and found a way to reach your children. And this is the type of thinking. This is the type of thinking that goes into the men who are out here trying to regulate women's bodies. This is the type of thinking that goes into the men who like to, now they're standing up saying that they are the paragons of morality and sexual morality and Western civilization, and they are the ones who are civilized and the rest of us are savages. These are the type of men who are making the laws that we have to live under. This is the thinking. This is the philosophy. This is the underpinnings of the conservative movement. It has always been about the cruelty. It has always been about domination. It has always been about suppressing those that they want to serve them. And if by any chance they possibly get out of line, we are now literally living in the era where they are bringing the political violence to bear. They are shooting at us. They are burning down churches. They are destroying electrical grids. And they are running for office. And some of them are winning.
Go to www.patreon.com/thebpdshow and get twice the content and unfiltered interviews without any of the commercial interruptions.
And here we go. Very special welcome to our newest patron. A very personalized shout out, a very personalized patron party for none other than Julia Hartshorn. Everybody give a round of applause to our newest patron. Hey. Wait a minute. You too can get your personalized shout out and become a part of this prestigious and prodigious patron family by going to patreon.com/thebpdshow, where you get twice the content. We got a full hour today. None of the commercial interruptions, and you get access to our patron party that is always live and always popping. Patreon.com/thebpdshow. And for the rest of you, we'll be back right after these commercial breaks.
Welcome back to The Benjamin Dixon Show. Visit us online at thebenjamindixonshow.com.
Welcome back. Cheer. Welcome back, everybody. I want to close the public segment with a story about, or a clip from, Donald Trump. There is one thing that Donald Trump can do good for us. And this is the last segment before we get ready to go to the patrons only portion. Patrons, thank you so much for being patient. The last two episodes, I wasn't able to do the after the 30 extra minutes that I do yesterday because of Dr. King's Day and all the parades and festivities that I had to participate in. Today, there will be a full episode. Stick around 30 more minutes. But I got to talk about this in the public show. I need Donald Trump to do something for America. I need him to do the one good thing that he's both capable of doing and, quite frankly, he wants to do. That is, I want him to destroy that sniveling little weasel of a piece of crap governor in the state of Florida by the name of Ronald Dion DeSantis, who, while serving in the Navy as a judge advocate general, supervised the well-documented torture of detainees in Guantanamo Bay. That's Ronald DeSantis. That's who's running the state of Florida. The man who is waging war on everything woke. The man who is such a clown. Did you see Ron DeSantis over the weekend? He is such a clown that he got in on the gas stove debate. I don't know if you've been paying attention. I haven't reported on it because it's a red herring. But Republicans are now outraged because someone in the Biden administration allegedly is going after gas stoves. We'll get the details of that later. Here's what you need to know about Ron DeSantis. He's now campaigning and selling material on his website about don't tread on my gas stoves. Ronald, there are no gas stoves in the state of Florida. Period. There's no gas service for stoves and ovens in the state of Florida. But that doesn't stop this little poorly dressed, uncouth, unkempt, downright malevolent moron from peddling culture war issues in order to cover for all of the tax breaks that he's giving billionaires and corporations in this state. That's Ron DeSantis. And I need Donald Trump to do America a solid. I need Donald Trump to wipe the floor with that uncharismatic Borg. Here's Donald Trump yesterday speaking on some right-wing show. I don't even care what show it was. Here he is talking about Ron DeSantis.
Those rallies were unbelievable, and he ended up beating Gillum. And most people thought he couldn't do that, but I thought he could. So I got him elected, pure and simple. He would have never, if I said I wasn't going to endorse you, and I was close, you know, there was no reason to go wild about endorsing him. So, you know, now I hear he might want to run against me. So we'll handle that the way I handle things.
Yes, Donald, I need you to handle Ron DeSantis the way you handle things. Because neither one of them need to be president of the United States. Both of them should be in prison. Donald Trump, for all of the crimes he committed as president, including inciting an insurrection. Ronald DeSantis, for his part in playing a role in the torture, the inhumane treatment of detainees at Guantanamo Bay. But instead, these criminals have been elected, one to governor and one to president of the United States. The only good thing Donald Trump can do for humanity at this point is to engage with Ron DeSantis in the exact fashion that he knows how, to belittle Ron DeSantis, to get Ron DeSantis off his game, to make Ron DeSantis not appear as smart as he appears, because he's not that smart. He's just that evil. Anyone who could sit across the table from a detainee, from a human being, let me stop calling them detainees, from a human being, and play the good cop while that person is being tortured relentlessly is an evil person that does not need to be in power. Can you imagine what Ron DeSantis would do to this country if he made it to the White House? I would argue it would be far worse than Donald Trump could ever dream. I'll die on this hill. Ron DeSantis is worse than Donald Trump. And he certainly would be worse for this country than Donald Trump. Neither one of them need to be in power. And the best way to ensure that is if they fight each other. And they fight each other so ferociously for so long that the only thing that's left to run in the general election is Jeb, please clap, Bush. I misspoke. I have one more conversation to have with you before we go. The House Republicans, one of the first two things that they did when they took over the House of Representatives, they removed the metal detectors. I'm considering that they just came off of January 6th. I would be nervous to be in that building with those domestic terrorists and not have metal detectors, but they took those down. The second thing was they brought back the ability to smoke in the offices of the congresspeople. Now, I don't know where you stand on smoking and specifically smoking tobacco and all that. But I want you to just listen to this clip from Tucker Carlson as he interviews a congressman who is a part of the Cigar Caucus. Cool. I've had a cigar in my time, you know, to celebrate. But I want you to listen to the ridiculousness that is the modern conservative movement as they describe the ability to smoke indoors as a matter of liberty and freedom.
Tell us why it's important for you to burn a cigar occasionally in your office.
Well, thank you for having me, Tucker. It's all about freedom. It's interesting that dishonest media and those, they want to complain about a little smoke coming out of my cigar. They don't want to talk about the inflation or the crime or the southern border.
Holy, what about it?
People have been enjoying cigars. Nations leaders, world leaders, from Winston Churchill to United States presidents, from Andrew Jackson to Theodore Roosevelt, Nixon, JFK, they like smoking their cigars. We even know that Bill Clinton, he enjoyed a good cigar every once in a while. So I don't know what all the hoopla is all about. You're right. In 2007, under Pelosi, she said you cannot smoke cigars in the Capitol building, i.e. you can't smoke cigars on the House floor or in committee hearings. But it did not include members' offices. So a member's House office, we've always been able to smoke cigars. There are many of us in the Cigar Caucus, about 30 of us, that enjoy a good cigar in our office, and we do so. Nancy Pelosi, for 2 years, I've been smoking cigars. Nobody complains about it. But now they want to come after us because we're in the majority. This is typical from the left. They want to infringe on our rights. They want to complain about our smoke. They're probably complaining about maybe my aftershave or the color of my tie. It doesn't end.
You know what doesn't end in the conservative movement, the Republican Party? One, they're bad faith arguments. This, they're whataboutisms. I mean, he really compared his inability to smoke indoors to everything else he already said in that clip. But two, their ability to make their selfishness a matter of liberty and freedom. They are able to corner, especially people like this. They're able to corner America and say that if you require me to be considerate at all, you're violating my freedoms. And last but not least, you didn't get to hear it in this clip, but Tucker Carlson actually said the smell of smoke is the smell of freedom. That's what never ends in this conservative movement in America. It's just the ability for these people to get away with anything. Patrons, stay tuned. We have a half hour more. Patreon.com/the BPD show. Everybody else, I'll see you tomorrow.